is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
You know what your daughter's doing on the college campus today? Your granddaughter? Your son? Maybe you're on a college campus. What's it like to be a Christian on a college campus? And how can we sort through all of the chaos going on in college campuses in what's called a hookup culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ? We're going to be talking about that a little bit later on. Especially, I'm broadcasting right now from Greensboro, North Carolina, from the Southern Baptist Convention, just a few miles away from Duke University. You all know about what's going on with all of the hullabaloo over Duke and the lacrosse team. And really, it doesn't really matter what's happening there with that particular team. There's a lot of bigger issues here, like, how can we see on our college campuses the kind of weird and disordered relationships between young men and young women? Can you see where an older generation has failed? And how can we correct that with the gospel? How are you able to really reach college students with the gospel? Now, I want you to join the conversation. We're going to be talking about that today. And I want you to give me a call at 877-893-9255, 877-893-TALK. What I want to talk about is how can we reach college students with the gospel, especially when kind of your typical college ministry often doesn't work. You know, I was at a university, when I remember when I was in college, in which the local campus ministry really was kind of an overgrown youth group. It was just a place where people who still wanted to be in their high school youth groups kind of got together to do chubby bunny games and that kind of thing. We need to have campus ministries that actually are engaged with churches. And that's how I think people are going to be discipled, and that's how people are going to see an alternative vision of what it means to be a human being, what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. I'd like for you to join the conversation at 877-893-TALK, and we're going to have a friend of mine, J.D. Greer, who is actually reaching college students in the Raleigh-Durham area, and we're going to be getting some suggestions from him, not only for you and your churches on reaching college-age students, but for you parents on how to raise up men and women who don't go wild when they hit the university campus, and how you as a young man, as a young woman, maybe going off to college, maybe even this fall, can go and be a Christian on that college campus, even in the midst of some real confusion. We'd like you to join the conversation. But there is news today, all kinds of things happening today. You may have noticed the World Cup. Is that the right terminology? I don't even care. I have to tell you that soccer is one of these things that I find absolutely incomprehensible. Now, I know there are some of you out there who love the whole soccer scene, and you're obsessed with the soccer.
Like your co-host.
You're not co-host, you're a guest, J.D. J.D. loves the soccer scene. I don't get it, J.D., I have to tell you. I went to see my four-year-old boys when they were playing soccer, and I looked out there, and it's just complete chaos, mildly controlled chaos. And I thought, well, it's just because they're four years old. Then I actually watched a soccer game and said, you know what, come to think of it, it's not because they're four. Soccer itself is just this kind of controlled chaos. So I think this is just some kind of a European phenomenon that we're just not supposed to care about as Americans. But we can debate that a little bit later on. But the Czech Republic won today. If you can be defeated by the Czech Republic in any kind of a sporting event, that's not a sporting event that really matters in my mind. But you may well disagree with me about that. Other news. Violent crime is up for the first time in 5 years. There's a study showing that the murder rates especially have increased all over the country. One of the interesting things that I've found is that violent crime of all of the regions of the United States is increasing the most in the Midwest. Kansas, Minnesota, North Dakota. Can you even imagine a murder in North Dakota? I mean, every North Dakotan and Minnesotan I've ever met is so nice, I can't even imagine them yelling at anyone, much less murdering them. But apparently so, violent crime is up in a big way. We will see what these trends mean a little bit later on. Also, in other news, there is a debate going on right now at Harvard over the issue of cloning, whether or not Harvard is going to be involved in the cloning of human embryos. And Harvard's provost, Dr. Stephen Hyman, is saying that if Harvard isn't involved, we're going to be surpassed by the Koreans when it comes to the issue of human cloning. So, you know, we've been saying for a long time, we have not seen the last of this, especially when there's money to be made. And really, you can follow the money in all of these ethical decisions. It's not just worldview confusion. There's a profit to be made for somebody. And so we will wait and see what happens with that. As I said, our broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina, from the Southern Baptist Convention, America's largest Protestant denomination, gathering this week to talk about the future and the direction of the SBC. You'll see big headlines coming out of the SBC. Some of them might even be accurate from the mainstream media sometime later on this week. Very interesting article in the New York Times on Saturday about the gender gap in America's churches, something that we've talked about on this program quite a bit. They did an interview with David Murrow, the author of Why Men Hate Going to Church. And I mentioned one time on this broadcast, this is a book that I kind of love and hate. I like the way that Murrow diagnoses the problem when it comes to men not being in the pews and not being there. I don't like necessarily where he goes with that. Murrow doesn't seem to recognize some of the big issues. For instance, he gives directions and suggestions on what to do if you're a woman pastor, on how to attract men to your churches. I think he's missing a big issue there when it comes to biblical understanding of male leadership. But I do think it's very interesting the way that he talks about how we're alienating men in our churches. And this is one of the things that he says. My background is in marketing and advertising, and I was sitting in a church, and all of a sudden it dawned on me that the target audience of almost everything in the church culture was a 50 to 55-year-old woman. I think that is exactly true in most of our churches, and something I'm frankly glad to see the New York Times dealing with, but I'd rather see local congregations dealing with that and asking, how are we going to reach men, and then thereby reach men, women, children, the entire families. Something to think about. Today we're talking about the college culture. Rolling Stone magazine last week had an article about the hookup culture at Duke University. Janet Reitman wrote this article, and she's examining relationships between men and women on the campus at Duke. And, of course, what she's trying to do is to say, why do you have this kind of tension with this lacrosse rape scandal going on at Duke University? But her point is much bigger. I don't think this is unique to Duke University at all. As a matter of fact, I think that this article could be written about almost any college campus anywhere in the country. She says, you've really got a situation where you don't have dating anymore at Duke. And I think you could say that across the board. You really have a situation in which you have women who are living in what Tom Wolfe talks about in I Am Charlotte Simmons, which was kind of a ripoff of Duke University in the way that he's picturing the university there, in which women aren't dating men. They're not being pursued by men. They're really being used by men. She even quotes a young lady who says, I've never been asked out on a date in my entire life. And he points out this is a stunning brunette. She says, I think if anybody ever were to ask me out, I'd think he's on drugs. She says, that's not what's happening. She says, instead there's a casual one-night stand. It usually has heavy drinking. She says, you'll hook up with a guy and you know that nothing will come of it. The best thing you can hope for is that you'll get to hook up with him again. Now, let me tell you what that is. That's a harem. That's a situation in which you have predatory men using women on college campuses for all kinds of purposes. And you go through this article and you read the description of what's taking place in the frat houses at this university, replicated all over the place. What you really see there is violence against women. Now, you read this article and you say, well, these women are to blame. What you have here is just girls going wild. True. That's exactly right. But how are we in a situation where we have women who only see themselves as this kind of sexual project for a bunch of predatory guys? And how do we have men pseudo-men that we have raised up who don't have any other understanding of how to treat women than this. And if that's the kind of culture we've got, then how do you come in and preach the gospel, not just preach the gospel of how to get saved and how to have eternal life, but how do you come in and say to men, this is how you're to be a man now? How do you say to a young woman, you don't have to live this way, this is how you're to be a woman now? Especially when what that means is you're going to be completely marginalized and completely weird in the context of your local university. How do you do that? There's got to be a better way than the way that some of our campus ministries are doing it. What I want to do when we come back is talk to a pastor who is doing it, who is reaching men and women on college campuses, and say, what can we learn? I want you to join the conversation at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Well, I'm getting all kinds of grief here in the studio today about my comments about soccer from our guest, Pastor J.D. Greer. Let me just tell you something. I grew up in a world of NASCAR fans, and there is nobody who mourned the death of Dale Earnhardt who was watching the World Cup today. That's all I've got to say about that. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, broadcasting live from the Southern Baptist Convention in Greensboro, North Carolina, just down the street from Duke University, where all the talking heads are talking about the lacrosse rape scandal. You can turn on the television at a certain time of the night and you can see all of these cable talk show hosts going through every detail of this rape case. They have entire legal programs devoted to talking about this thing. I can't watch more than 2 or 3 minutes of it. But, you know, a jury's going to have to decide that issue, decide whether there's guilt or there's innocence involved. But I think there's really a bigger issue for Christians. And that is, when you think about the way that men and women relate to one another on college campuses, when you think about the kind of vapid lives going on many of our college campuses, you can walk onto a college campus, and what you can often see, even though you have people around one another all the time, you've got real loneliness on college campuses right now, on university campuses, and really even beyond university culture. When you think about college age people, in my denomination, we used to have a category we called college and career, which was really kind of a Southern Baptist version of purgatory. It was there, but nobody was in those Sunday school classes because there was almost an understanding in most churches that we expected people to be faithful through the youth group and then to get college age and to go wild. We really expected that that would take place until after college was over, and then these people would get married and start settling down and having babies, and then they would come back to church. That is a sick view of the Christian life. But how are we going to come into college campuses a lot of times where you have people who are fatherless? You have people who have seen things in their lives already that most people have never even had to think about. How are you able to come in and to preach the gospel in that kind of a setting? And a lot of times, it's much more difficult than simply coming in and saying, turn in your Bibles and let me take you through the Roman road. What I want to know from you is, how are you in your communities reaching young people, reaching college campuses with the gospel? How do you do campus ministry as a church, as a family? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have as our guest today, Pastor J.D. Greer, who is the pastor of the Summit Church in Durham, North Carolina. He is ministering to people at Duke, UNC Chapel Hill, at all kinds of NC State, Durham Tech, all of these places around here in the Research Triangle area. And J.D. is very young. He is very effective. I've preached in his church and have seen a ministry there that is remarkable and unbelievable, the way he's able to reach an entire cross-section of people. J.D., welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Honored to be here.
How do you, when you go onto a college campus, and I noticed when I was at Duke the other day, there was a sign up where you were going to be on the campus talking about the Da Vinci Code.
Mm-hmm.
How do you connect with the typical college age person?
Well, I think you raised an excellent point earlier when you said that the sort of the state religion, secularism, has left college students really with some deep-seated emptiness, and the values that are communicated through our college campuses are they really leave them quite empty. And so many of them turn. It's not surprising they turn to things like you highlighted with these parties and that sort of thing. Unfortunately, you find that the church isn't really doing a whole lot to address that because the kind of solutions that we give are very surface level. They're, you know, how to do this or how to fix this in your life. What we have found is that the Bible and the gospel answer some very deep questions. Mm. And when the gospel is preached, by definition, it must be preached deeply. The gospel is not three ways to fix your lonely life. The gospel mm-hmm. deals with really the problems that are going on deep inside the human heart. And what we have found is that the deeper that we go with these students, the more they seem to connect with what's happening. I had a lesbian girl tell me not too long ago. She said, "The reason I come to your church," she says, "even though you say a lot of things that really make me angry," mm-hmm. she said, "I don't feel like you're pandering to me. I don't feel like you're trying to entertain me." Mm. She said, "everywhere I turn, I feel like people are doing that to us." She said, "you make me mad, but I know you're telling me what you believe to be the truth, and I feel like it's addressing me where I am."
Man, it's interesting that you talk about pandering, because that's not the case just with churches. That has to do, you have college students who are really living in a world, even on the university campus, that often is pandering to them. I saw an article recently about how many colleges during finals week, they're having free massages for the students, all of these stress relief activities going on in order to really make sure that the students are okay emotionally. I mean, you come into that kind of a situation and now you're confronting someone saying you're going to hell. That's a very different kind of world to be in.
And I guess what's ironic is, I mean, not that we do this stuff or preach the gospel because it works,
right?
But it does work. Because the gospel is a radical call. You know, it seems like in a lot of areas of society, you're trying to make things safe and you're trying to make it warm. And especially for the college age, that just mm-hmm. doesn't appeal to them. Mm-hmm. I had a guy that I had lunch with him 2 weeks ago who said, you know, I've been to some churches and I just feel like when I go, now get this, he says, "I feel like the pastor ought to be preaching from the Bible."
Imagine that.
I mean, imagine that. He said, "I need to know if Jesus really rose from the dead." And I have the email where he sent this to me later. He said, "If Jesus rose from the dead, that affects everything. It affects my free time. It affects whom I will marry. It affects the course of my life. I've got to decide whether or not Jesus rose from the dead." And so I think answering those fundamental worldview questions is where college students are. And we found that when we get on their campus, like the event that you mentioned, to not just say come to our church, but we want to meet them on their campuses and deal with their questions, give them a chance to respond, that they're looking for someone that will at least tell them the truth, even if they don't agree with it.
Do you think churches are doing a good job with college students and university students in your communities? Give me a call. I want to hear from you. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let me know what you're doing or what you see out there when it comes to college students. Maybe there's an entire different reality than what I'm seeing, but I see a huge need when it comes to the way that we're doing college ministry. J.D., what about a particular issue of men and women? One of the things I think is really interesting when you go into college campuses is that you have men who sometimes they know what it means to be a good person, but they don't know what it means to be a man. And women who might know what the ideal person looks like, but they have no idea what it means to be a woman. And I think we're seeing this in some of the things the Rolling Stone article is talking about. How do you address that?
Well, I think you address it very straight. I think you hold up for them a standard of what men are. That's why I think it's important. That's why I think churches can do something that nothing really else in society can do, because it can give them a multi-generational view of what society looks like. Mm. You know, for all of postmodernism's problems, Russell, one thing it has taught us is that people often embrace truth when they see what it looks like in a community and they're attracted to that community. When they come into the church and they see real men treating real women with respect, that's powerful.
Amen, man. I'm so glad that you mentioned the issue of multi-generational, because there are a lot of churches out there that have a college group stuck off somewhere in a fellowship hall, and they're all sitting around talking to one another, but they don't get to see senior adults. They don't get to see four-year-old children. And we're going to talk about that when we come back, but I want to hear from you. How in your congregation are you able to reach out to college students or not? How do you see campus ministry working in your communities? Is it working well? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you make sure that the Duke University situation that we're talking about doesn't take place in your community. Give us a call, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
I know what y'all are thinking. I'm guest hosting today, and we don't have any country music coming in or out of any of the segments, and I'm as grieved by that as you are, but unfortunately, I'm out in the middle of the Southern Baptist Convention, a little bit disconnected from the studio back home in Louisville, Kentucky. I don't have my iPod with me. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about college culture, particularly the hookup culture. An article recently talking about the fact that Duke University, the kind of issues about men and women there, really tells you a lot about what's going on all of our college campuses. We have women who don't know what it means to be women and men who don't know what it means to be men. And what that means is you have men using women for their own sexual purposes. And I think we can see that across the board. Really, it's a sad and pathetic type of situation. And you can look around at college students in which you have young men, as a friend of mine once said, God said for you to have dominion over the earth, and some of you don't even have dominion over your hair or over your dorm room. And you have women, even Christian young women. You know, there's a lot of talk these days about Ann Coulter and that kind of a hard, brittle, aggressive, hard-charging, immodest type of a model. A lot of times we have even Christian women thinking that's what it means to be a Proverbs 31 woman. That is not what it means to be a Proverbs 31 woman, but we don't have models often. And frankly, I don't know about y'all. I think that campus ministry often on college campuses is broken. Now, maybe you may say, you don't know about the campus ministry on my particular college campus, and that may well be the case, and I want you to tell me about it. But a lot of times what I see on college campuses are campus ministries that are not evangelistic. They're not reaching lost college students, and they're not discipling Christian college students. A lot of times what I see on college campuses are just these kind of parachurch groups that try to fill the void of a church. And what happens is you stifle people from being discipled because you're not plugging them in to local congregations. What about you? Do you think campus ministry is working in your context? And if so, how do you get it to work? How in your church are you able to take college students? Sometimes they just float in, they float out. How do you really plug them in and integrate them into the life of the church? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I have with me a friend of mine, J.D. Greer, who is the pastor of the Summit Church in Durham, North Carolina, who is reaching college students. J.D., one of the things that you mentioned was about a multi-generational kind of a church. How do you keep a college student from just kind of getting in the college ghetto there with college students, and they're all just kind of sitting around discipling one another rather than plugging into the rest of the life?
Well, the first thing you do is you have to teach your church that they are to be really on mission, that the church is not about them, it's about reaching, and that there is things that they can do. We have many of the families in our church who will welcome as guest members of their family many of these college students. They live with them during the summer. It's especially good for those with high school and middle school students to have that type of role model if this is a godly person. Our senior adults at our church serve our college campus. We did a baptism actually on campus, and they were there to help serve the college students, cooking them meals. When they come to our church, we just love on them. And, you know, it's kind of cheesy, but that goes a long way, because when people know that you love them, they want to be around you. And we found that all generations can do that at the church.
Now, one of the things that I think is unique with college ministry is a lot of times you have students who you don't know if they're there or not. A lot of times you have students who kind of will come in and then they're gone. How do you maintain accountability in a congregation?
You teach them what it means to be a member of your church. Membership is definitely out of vogue in most relevant churches, but teaching them that it's part of a covenant community. I agree with Tom Rainer, who says that, you know, when you raise the standard of accountability. And when you raise the expectations, especially for college students, they want to be a part of that.
Now, surely you don't expect anything out of a college student who joins your church. You just want them to be there.
That's right? One of the myths that people just can't get right is that you, when you raise and you make the gospel call as radical as it is, they are more attracted to it than when it is this mealy-mouthed kind of status quo sort of nuanced just Christianese that's put on top of them. Call them to the cross. And, man, that's powerful to them.
What do you think? How can a church reach college students, young people? Or are you in a church that just is getting grayer and grayer and bluer all the time, but you're not seeing very many young people out there? What can you do to turn that around and change it? What's happening on college campuses that actually can reach young people with the gospel? Or do we just have a particularly carnal group of college students right now who can't be reached with the gospel? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I particularly want to know, for those of you parents out there, what do you expect for ministry to your kids in college? Give me a call. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Have you ever met the really sad, pathetic guy who all he's really living for is life back in college? He's the guy who still talks about, oh, those guys were great that we hung out with in college. And he's never really moved on. A lot of times you have an entire bubble of a world in college campuses in which you have students being thrown into that kind of vortex, and it can be a very confusing time. It's not very easy to preach the gospel in that kind of a place, especially when you have some of the really sickening types of sexual dynamics and partying dynamics going on college campuses that I don't really think are the problem. They're the symptom of the problem. How do we get at the hearts on these campuses? And this really isn't anything new. I mean, Jesus tells us about the prodigal son who leaves and goes and wastes his father's inheritance. That goes on college campuses and in other places all over this country. But how do you come in and preach the gospel in a place like this? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you reach in your community, not just the senior adults who are already there in your churches, how do you reach college students? And I'm not talking about outsourcing that out to Campus Crusade for Christ or some other college ministry. The ultimate college ministry is the local congregation. How is your congregation doing this? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. Have with me in the studio Pastor J.D. Greer of the Summit Church in Durham, North Carolina, who is really, I think, a model for how to do not just college ministry, but really to transcend college ministry and do ministry that involves college students. We have on the line Mike, who is calling from Beach Island, South Carolina, listening on XM Radio. Mike, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thanks for having me, Russell. I really appreciate you taking my call today.
I'm glad to do it.
I think a lot of the issue is the relevancy of the material. It's hard to teach a young adult, college age, Isaiah and the Old Testament. They're in today's society. They need to see how it relates to today's stuff. And it really has to do with the Sunday school material you use, I think.
Uh-huh.
The relevancy of, the teachers, you got to have somebody, you got to face it just like you do youth. You got to have somebody energetic and willing to go the extra mile. Your church has got to be behind it. That's a real big thing.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. Your church has to be behind it. You know, a lot of times, though, I think what you have in churches, and J.D., I wonder if you agree with me on this. I think a lot of times you have churches, they want to be relevant to college students. So what they do is they find a college-y kind of guy to teach the college class because they think this is the kind of guy who will connect with college students. And usually it's just an immature guy who's kind of an old person's idea of what a young person ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that person isn't expected to connect with college students. A lot of the churches that I see really reaching young people and college-age students have some really irrelevant people leading the charge, some people that might not be considered. They don't have a soul patch, I'll put it that way.
Well, I hope it's no reflection on the one you're sitting with here. But, you know, I think you're right. One of the things you can do is you can underestimate just the power of love and the power of the teaching of the Word. I have seen some of the greatest college ministries, and I'm thinking of one in particular, that was led by somebody that was at least 30 years older than all the college students. Mm-hmm. But because they related to him more like a father than like a, you know, a hip, cool friend.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, something these students, they latched onto.
Mm-hmm. How do you convince somebody in your church you need to try it out with college students? And how do you know, you know, if it's not working, what do you do?
For some people, it definitely won't work. But I think just you leading them in ways that they can begin to interact, opening up their homes. You know, let them come over and do laundry at their house. That may seem very mundane, but that's big for a college student.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if you do the laundry for them. That's even better. How are you reaching college students and college-age students? And what are kind of some of the challenges that you faced in your own congregation in reaching college students? And maybe you say, I'm in a church that's just failed. We all are wearing the blue hair dye. How do you deal with that in your congregation? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. J.D., one of the things he mentioned was curriculum, and he talked about teaching the Bible. How do you... What's your kind of approach to teaching the Bible to college students?
At our church, we have a three-year track that we take students through.
Uh-huh.
And 1 year we teach the doctrines of theology.
Okay.
1 year we teach an overview of the Bible. And then the last year we talk where the Bible relates to specific issues in their life. It is very well received. It's even things that may not work with other levels of, you know, other ages. Man, they love to get out of, and they love to hear things on Sunday that that help them on campus in dealing with truth issues,
and,
which again is not Sunday school shallow stuff.
And I think you're right that it's big issues and it's deep. It's really challenging the idea of who am I. It's not kind of your baby boomer how to have a happier friendship and that kind of thing.
Get you Wayne Grudem's Bible doctrines. Get you know, Graham Goldsworthy's According to Plan.
That's a great book.
And those will take the students through.
All right, we have Micah on the line calling from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on XM Radio. Micah, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for having me on, Dr. Moore.
I'm glad to. What's your comment today?
Well, actually, just what you said there, talking about the baby boomer generation and the way we've reached them, and now the way we're reaching college students is totally different. And sometimes the church even hasn't caught up with the baby boomer generation to move on to reaching the 20-somethings. I myself am a 22-year-old recent college graduate, and I noticed for the biggest thing for me is just the need for community. I had that in college with the guys I lived in the dorms with or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you get married, you move on, and you move out there, and the church just doesn't have an authentic community to be a part of. And I think that's something that the church is called to be, and that people my age are looking for. That there's not been in the recent years.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Mike. I also think you can see on a lot of college campuses some pseudo churches, some people who believe they have community with the other members of a particular dorm wing or what have you, people they're not even going to keep track of in about 15, 20 years, but it's kind of filling a void that's not being met by churches. One of the things, J.D., that you mentioned, having multi-generational community in a church as a model, just evidencing love. I mean, that's one of the things, when I read about what's going on some of these college campuses when it comes to the hookup culture, one of the things that you don't see there is love. As much as we talk about relationship, as much as we talk about knowing one another, they're not seeing what Jesus says is the spillover of the Trinity. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. They're not finding that in the dorm. Are they finding it in your church? Or are you so insular and so isolated in your congregation that you're looking around and seeing the kids that you brought through Vacation Bible School walking away to a college campus where they're calling brother and sister, people in a frat house or a sorority house, and they're not seeing their brothers in the local congregation? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore. We weren't supposed to come in with that. We were supposed to come in with Kenny Chesney's Keg in the Closet, which I think it really sums up a lot of what's going on a lot of college campuses and even after college where people kind of live in that college bubble. I mean, come on, Kenny. You're 34 years old. You're still wearing a pink tank top. There's some type of immaturity level taking place there. We have David who is calling. David, very quickly, what's your question today?
I'm a high school pastor, and I'd like to know, what do I do to start from scratch with a college ministry? We have a crop of kids that are going to be moving into college, but we don't have that strong college ministry. We don't really have one, and that's where we're lacking. I think a lot of churches are as well.
Yeah, I think you're right, David. Even with churches that have youth ministries and don't have college ministries, we have in the studio Pastor J.D. Greer, a friend of mine, pastor of the Summit Church in Durham, North Carolina. J.D., how would he do this, start a new college ministry?
Well, David, there's a lot you can do. First of all, as in any ministry, you just got to get on to the campus. God can use a lot of your mistakes. What he can't use is your absence or your silence. And you just get out there and begin to pray for that different campus and begin to meet different students. Study their culture. And then don't shy away from really teaching things that, as you study their culture, become very relevant. Intersect their culture with the gospel. The campus growth or the growth in ministry that we have seen has come not from entertainment. It has come from simply taking the Bible, taking the issues they're dealing with, and giving them the proper worldview. Next, give them mission projects that they can believe in, that are not dangerous for the sake of danger, but are radical. We at our church call it the Mormonization of the college generation, Christian generation, is that we want to send them all for 2 years overseas when they graduate. We tell them, unless God's told you otherwise, plan on going overseas. Give them projects, inner city, around the country, that they can give their lives to. The radical call of the gospel is especially enticing for a college student looking for direction in their life.
And one of the things I would say is a lot of you are shying away from doing campus ministry and college ministry because you don't think you're cool enough. And I really think that prohibits a lot of people from even talking to college students because they really think you have to be hip and relevant in order to engage college students. One of the most spectacularly successful men I ever knew in the ministry in connecting with college students was a guy who was 60-something years old who was so disconnected from college culture that he would stand up and say things like, "This is really glorious," or as you college kids would say, "groovy." You're like, not in a long time, but they knew he loved him. And
tell him that he who loves their life will lose it and then live that in front of them, and that's cool.
That's cool. And that's relevant now and next week. And the week after that, and the week after that, and even to the end of the age. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.